Welcome back, and welcome to those of you who are online and joining us just now for the service. Glad to have you here with us as well. Why don't you grab your Bibles? We're going to go back to Ezekiel 12, where we were last week. I don't know how often you have this experience, but it's part of our yearly routine that several times a year we have guests come to our house. And we've had a number of them recently. And it depends how you get ready for a guest sort of depends on who the guest is and perhaps where they're going to be going in your house. There, I don't know if you've had this experience, but there are times where you just have someone over for dinner and what you do is displace your stuff from one room to the next because they won't actually get to that particular room. And if we just close that bedroom door, they'll never know that none of us made our beds today or that there's still laundry on the floor. Perhaps we know that we're going to entertain them upstairs, and so they're not going to see our basement because the kids didn't clean up their toys and games and so on. Or that these two bathrooms will need to be cleaned, but this space over here won't need to be. And we often do that, sadly. It's part of, I think, sometimes survival as a family when you're busy. But then there are other guests that come to stay. And when they stay, especially if they're close family, you know that they're going to be in every room. At some point. And so I'm not going to be able to close my bedroom door forever and ignore the laundry that's on the floor or the bed that hasn't been made or something like that. When guests come to stay, there's a preparation that takes place depending on who that guest is so that we can make sure that the house is ready not only to present ourselves in a certain way, but also to make sure that they feel like this is their space, this is their home. We have made a place ready and available for them, and it's a welcoming place. We need to be getting ready for a guest. And as God has been speaking to us as a community lately, he has been talking to us about getting ready for a guest here. And it's interesting that it's happening during Advent season, when Advent is the time where it's already that time of preparation for the Lord's return, a reminder of what it took those first people to get ready for the Messiah to come again. And we enter into that season to remind ourselves that he is returning. And we need to be ready and prepared for that. But then God's also been speaking to us more personally as unity as well, saying, get ready, I'm coming to unity. And last week I shared a story with you about one of the ways that God had been speaking to unity through something he'd been asking me to do. And I'm going to tell that story again for those of you who weren't here, just to make sure everyone's on the same page. And then we're going to go back to the same scriptures, but then we're going to see something a little bit different today. So I'll for those of you who were here last week, some of this is going to be repeat, but I hope that you have been continuing to process this word that we heard from the Lord last week, because it's for a community of people. And we have not yet exhausted all that God means for us to hear from that word. So it was 2 weeks ago today. I was driving home from the church following the service and sitting in the car, and I'd been hearing from the Lord, I want you to clean up the cigarette butts at Unity. That is such a weird thing. That cannot be God. But it's sticking with me. There were a number of things that had led up to that made me think, well, that he might be onto something here. This may not just simply be Ben's imagination. And so when I got home, I called my son out to the car. And I, my son is hearing very clearly from God. And so we processed this together. And I said, Marcus, this is what I'm hearing. Are you hearing this as well? And he says, yep, that's God. He wants you to clean up all the cigarette butts at Unity. I'm like, thinking, does God know we have 2 acres of property and a whole lot of foot traffic? yes, God actually knew that sort of the size of our property and exactly how many cigarette butts we had. And he said, nonetheless, I want you to clean them up. And I was really puzzled by that word. It seemed like a waste of my time. It seemed like an impossible task. It seemed trivial. We've all walked past numerous cigarette butts anytime you're walking down the street, right? This is part of the world that we live in. It's part of the package, right? Like, Lord, I don't understand this. And the message was more or less, I don't care whether or not you understand it, go do it. And he was firm, and I was angry as a result. And I'm eating my lunch in just frustration. I can't believe this is impossible. It's a waste of my week. And I'm hearing, it's got to be priority number one, for this coming week for you. And my dad was here at that time. He just flew home yesterday, but he just landed the day before. And so he's seeing me at the kitchen table. He's like, what's wrong? I'm like, God just told me to clean up cigarette butts. I'm like, ugh. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, on the whole property, the whole thing. I'm like, we got trees. We got a forest. We got a field. There's frost. There's snow. I hate the cold. And he's like, well, God told you to do it. Like, let's just go do it. Let's go start this afternoon. And he joined me, for a good part of that project. And so we cleaned up cigarette butts for hours and hours and hours that week. We'd come in and get warm, and we'd go back out and continue cleaning up cigarette butts. And as he started, as we continued in that, once I repented of my anger, and got over my frustration with it, God started speaking. He started talking to me, to us, about how this isn't just about cigarette butts. It's not just about cleanliness. There's a bigger principle for your church here that they're going to need to hear. Earlier on, before I'd ever heard anything about cigarette butts, he'd started talking to me about Ezekiel 12, which was not a chapter I knew. I had no clue what Ezekiel 12 was. It came very clearly. He said, I want your church to hear Ezekiel 12. And when I read through Ezekiel 12, as we will do in a moment, Ezekiel 12 is about God taking his prophet and actually making him a sign to the people. So what happens to Ezekiel is going to become something that is going to happen to the entire people of Israel, not just to Ezekiel. And so God actually gives them a demonstration, a visual in-person demonstration of what's going to happen to them. And he says twice in this passage, I'm going to make you a sign. And he says over and over and over again in this passage, you're to do this in their sight. And now Ezekiel's message, God's message for the people through Ezekiel, is that these people are about to go into exile. And so as we read, you're going to hear about him having to pack baggage for exile and dig through a wall and all of this. And I'm not saying you're going into exile, but the point of this passage as we're about to read it is that God, in the same way that he did with Ezekiel, he is now currently doing here. Through the cigarette butt thing. I have made you a sign, and there are things that we need to learn from this. Before we read Ezekiel, we weighed this last week, those of you who are here. So after sharing what I had just shared and after reading Ezekiel, I had you, those of you who are online, we broke you guys up into small groups, and we broke up the people here into small groups, and we weighed what I had just shared. I said, I believe this is a word from the Lord, but now you need to weigh it together. You need to test it. That's part of what prophecy is. It's not just someone stands up and says, this is what God says, and everyone just goes, okay. No, we weigh it together. And as we weighed it, what happened was the different ways that God had been speaking to me that week that I hadn't shared came out through your voices as you started talking about what this might mean for unity. And the first person that stood up said, this is about holiness. It's about the fact that we have walked past cigarette butts constantly because we don't think that they're a big deal, but we have those same types of things in our own lives, and we've been walking past them and ignoring them, and God's now identifying them and saying, it's time to clean up the cigarette butts in your life. We had another person stand up and say, this is about the neighborhood. And we don't know our neighbors, and we don't have connections with our neighbors. And as a result of that, our neighbors don't always treat our property very well here. And why is that? Well, because we don't have a very good relationship with them. We had someone else stand up and say, this is about cleansing right now. This is about a spiritual cleansing that's needed at Unity Baptist Church because too much of the enemy has gotten in at the moment and there's a cleansing that needs to happen. And then went on to say, and this is about Hope Mission as well, that if we're ever to enter into something new with them, we first need to make sure our stuff is cleaned up. And God spoke over and over and over again, and he spoke through you. I just started the process, or God started the process, and I just continued it by opening it up Sunday morning. And that stuff came out, and as we weighed it, we heard the Lord over and over and over again. That cigarette butt event paralleled something else in my life that I haven't yet shared, that I will share with you in just a moment. But first, we're going to read Ezekiel 12. So would you go there, please? We're going to read about the first 11 verses. Someone asked me what translation I was reading from last week. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. However, the only thing that I'm modifying as I'm going is the Lord speaks to Ezekiel and he calls him son of man, but in NRSV, he just calls it, it gets translated mortal, but otherwise son of man. So that's what I'm inserting there. But this is New Revised Standard Version of the word of the Lord. So here it is. The word of the Lord came to me. So it's Ezekiel speaking. He says, the word of the Lord came to me, and this is what the Lord said. Son of man, you are living in the midst of a rebellious house who have eyes to see, but do not see, who have ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Just pause there one moment. We've been spending weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and we're going to keep spending weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks learning to listen. Because God has been very, very clear that his people need to learn to listen. Do you see the connection between the lives that we live and our ability to hear from God in verses 1-3? I'm going to read them again, so keep that in mind. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, you are living in the midst of a rebellious house. And I'm not, by the way, calling you a rebellious house, okay? But I am making the point about the connection between our ability to hear from God and the stuff in our lives. You're living in the midst of a rebellious house who have eyes to see, but do not see. What are they going to be seeing? What God is doing. Who have ears to hear. What are they going to hear? What God is speaking. Well, they have those things, but they're not hearing because, for verse 3, they are a rebellious house. And in light of that, here's God's response to the fact that his people aren't currently hearing or seeing what he would like them to hear. He says, if I can't be speaking to you directly because you're not getting it, I'm going to put someone in front of you that you're going to be able to see and interact with, and they're going to demonstrate for you what I'm about to do among you right now. So that's verse three. Therefore, because they're not seeing or hearing, they're rebellious. Therefore, son of man, prepare for yourself an exile's baggage. Pack your bags, kid, and go into exile by day in their sight. You shall go like an exile from your place to another place in their sight. Perhaps they will understand. Even though they're a rebellious house, you shall bring out your baggage by day in their sight as baggage for exile, and you shall go out yourself at evening in their sight as those who go into exile. Dig through the wall in their sight and carry the baggage through it. In their sight, you shall lift the baggage on your shoulder and carry it out in the dark. You shall cover your face so that you may not see the land. For, here's the reason, for I have made you a sign to the house of Israel. And so Ezekiel says, I did just as I was commanded. I brought out my baggage by day, baggage for exile, and in the evening, I dug through the wall with my own hands. And I brought it out in the dark, carrying it on my shoulder in their sight. In the morning, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, has not the house of Israel, that rebellious house, have they not said to you, what are you doing? Well, say to them, this is what the Lord God says. This oracle, what I'm currently doing, concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel. And God says, say to them, I am a sign for you. As I have done, so shall it be done to them. That's where I'd like to stop. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That was the word that we weighed last week. And we heard from different voices in the congregation who caught different aspects of what God was and is saying to Unity Baptist right now. And some of it was about the neighborhood. And some of it is about Hope Mission. And some of it is about a spiritual cleansing that's needed. But where we're going to park today is on the first one that we heard. And it's holiness. That's what Roy shared with us last week. We've been walking past cigarette butts in our lives, and we need to realize that God actually isn't okay with that stuff in our lives anymore. And as I said, it paralleled something that had been going on in my life that almost none of you know about at the moment. But I was given the orders to share this story. And so here's the story. In the last number of months, as I have seen particularly Marcus's gifting in our house just continue to increase with his ability to hear God and to see the spiritual realm in some really interesting ways, the spiritual activity in our house has greatly increased. And along with that, at times has come sometimes the enemy, which he or I or someone else has seen. It's been disconcerting. Didn't recognize that was actually just part of everyday life. But God started talking to us and started saying, identifying that there were things in our lives that actually needed to go, not in our lives in that sort of generic sense of in my heart, but I mean actually specifically in my house that needed to go. And I don't mean like our favorite Ouija board and tarot cards. Like that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what he was identifying. Like the Stephen King novels I told you went a long time ago. He started identifying, he said, it was one night in the middle of the night, I was praying and I saw something. Frankly, I'll just tell you, I saw an angel. And not with my eyeballs, with my spirit. And that's a whole other conversation for a different time. But I saw it and it said, the Lord wants to come to your house, but you need to deal with your books. Like, my books. I got rid of the Stephen King. What are you talking about? My books. So I went down there the next night to our bookshelves in our guest room. I started looking at these books. Like, yeah, we got rid of the Stephen King. But there are some other ones here that weren't, and I don't mean like 50 Shades of Grey. I just mean like there are things here that actually, you know, in the metaphorical sense of preparing your house for someone to come and cleaning up the dirt and so on, and not just displacing the junk to another room. If God's coming to my house, maybe that book shouldn't be there because it's not got the greatest message. And so I brought Marcus down and I said, can you help me with this? Because God's been speaking to me about how we need to get rid of some of these books, like the stuff that we have been, the media and print media that we have been consuming isn't necessarily something that he's okay with. But I had a really hard time with it because it required a level of discernment I did not currently have and a level of being able to hear God's voice that I didn't currently have, and I needed his help with it. But just like we had shared about the Halloween decorations a couple of weeks ago, it was the same process taking place, but as we looked at our house as a whole. And so there were just some books that needed to go, but it was a conversation about why this one and not that one. And he'd say things like, well, read the opening paragraph. And, you know, it was I think of one of them was sort of a teen fiction, Blood Red Road, I think, something like, I can't remember. Anyway, read the opening description. And the opening description mentioned the four horsemen. And he's like, your father should know what that is. And I'm like, oh, four horsemen, like four horsemen of the apocalypse. oh, that's what this is about. I didn't realize that. Okay, so we're putting that in this bin. There were other ones where he's like, I don't really like that, but it's not, you know, it's not giving the enemy entrance into your house or something like that. But you want to be more discerning about the stuff that you're reading. But at the same time, it wasn't we just chuck everything and now only the Christian authors stay. Like Harry Potter got made the cut, guys. You're supposed to laugh at that. Harry Potter made the cut. And actually, God really liked Harry Potter, and we had an interesting conversation about that. So it wasn't as simple as just like the Halloween decorations, like all Frankensteins were bad, all skeletons were bad. You know, it was much more nuanced than that, but he was slowly teaching us his heart for understanding the way that he wanted us to engage with our world and what we would say actually is welcome to have a place in our house and what isn't. So let's change the topic from books for a moment. There were times where he identified things like this puzzle needs to go. It was a puzzle. Like, what's wrong with a puzzle? It was a 1,000-piece puzzle. And the picture that the puzzle presented looked like Polaroids. And each Polaroid was a different snapshot of a particular location in the world, like sort of, you know, all the most beautiful places in the world. But it was like the highlights too, right? Like the, you know, Buckingham Palace and you know, kangaroos in Australia and trying to capture the world. And what he started showing us was there are a few places here on some of these Polaroids are showing places of worship that are not worshiping me. And I'm not okay with that. And the puzzle had to go. There were toys. Playmobil. You know what Playmobil is? Playmobil is like for kids that are sort of 12 and under. Similar to Lego. And there were some Playmobil figures. I remember one set that we had that was ancient Egypt. And it wasn't that it was ancient Egypt particularly. It was actually the mummies and the skeletons. It wasn't even the images of their gods, because God's like, no one worships those gods. I'm not interested in that. But skulls and the coffins represent death. And I am the God of life. I am anti-death. You don't get to have skulls in your house, because that represents everything that I am against. Get it out. And then he's like, you can sell the rest of the set. That's cool. But get that stuff out of your house. It was stuff like that over and over and over again. And when I thought we had done, I thought we were through this purge, he'd identify something else. It's still going. I have puzzles to get rid of today. He said to me, the puzzle you're going to get rid of today, you'd never know that it was something I wouldn't like just by looking at the image. And I said, why? And he said, because it was created in worship of something that is not worship of me. It's not an evil image in and of itself. It was the reason it was created. He's like, and you're going to have to go find it today. He started identifying this stuff. And I didn't have a choice. And believe me, I did not want to go through this. I did not want to be digging through Playmobil and puzzles in my crawl space at 9:30 at night when I'd like to be going to bed. This was not something I was the least bit interested in. But he started speaking to us about why it was. And at first I thought it was about giving the enemy entrance rights, as though we had stuff in our house that the enemy would say, that's mine and I get to be there with that. And there was some of that. But mostly it was about, I am requiring an increased level of holiness in your house. And you have to think about why that is, Ben. And it took me a long time. But I gradually came to understand that if we want to make a space for God in our lives, we can't put God in a dirty guest room and expect that he's cool with that. Holiness is actually hospitality, friends. Holiness is hospitality. Holiness is not about keeping rules to make an angry God less angry. Holiness is about hospitality. It's about inviting God into our lives. And if we want more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we need to make a place that is fit for a Holy Spirit. Holiness is hospitality. And it's been a process. And God's been okay with that process because as we've been doing it, just like with the cigarette butts, we've been learning to listen more. And we're in a period in our lives as Unity where God is saying, I want you to learn to listen. And that even when there are things that we don't understand, if we come at it humbly and say, okay, I'm hearing you, I submit, help me understand why it is that I have to get rid of this particular puzzle, or why it is that this music is no longer okay, or why it is that these movies are okay and this one isn't. And when we start to approach it from this relational perspective, he will start to speak more. You will hear him more. We're learning to listen. And he can teach. You don't even need to come to Unity to clean up cigarette butts to learn to see and to listen. You can start practicing it in your own home. Where are we at for time? We replaced the clock at the back with an even smaller clock, so I cannot see it anymore. So I'm going to have to invest in a bigger one I can see. God wants us to learn to listen. Holiness is about hospitality. We are going to be practicing listening. So as I said to you a number of weeks ago, I'm going to make it more of a regular habit as part of the close of the message that we take time not to reflect. I jokingly said, no thinking, right? I'm talking about taking time to listen. So I'm going to give you a space here, about 2 minutes, where I'm going to invite you to listen. The best way to listen is to begin by asking a question. Right? God speaks more when we first start the conversation. Maybe he's already started the conversation with you and you just need to continue it. But if you're not hearing anything at the moment or when you start, ask him a question. Lord, what is it that you want? How is it you want me to respond to this? What is it that you want to identify? Something like that. What is my next step? All right. When those 2 minutes are up, we've had our listening time. We're going to move into a time of communion. Okay. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you. But the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Friends, let's stop picking the different parts of God that we like. Holiness can be a hard word, right? But holiness is necessary. God is holy. Be holy, for I am holy. I want you also to hear what it is that he says to the woman caught in adultery. What are his words to her? Does no one condemn you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Do you see how holiness and kindness can be combined? The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. Examine yourselves before you eat and drink of this cup. Lord, make us a holy people. Make us a people who pull out all the stops to make a space for you that is as hospitable as we possibly can, because you deserve nothing less. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what you want from me. Take my life. Take my will. Lord, you have offered everything for us. May we spend the rest of our lives offering you thanks, not just with our lips, but by the way we clean up our houses and lives with your help. Lord, would you be a God who continues to speak to us, identifying both your kindness and your holiness and the ways that those apply to the lives that we are living. We give you thanks and praise for who you are, and we take these elements to celebrate the sacrifice that you have made so that we could be right with you. In being right with you, may we now offer you the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take these in remembrance of him. Once again, thank you for being here, everyone. Thanks for those of you online who were able to join us for this portion. You guys get the blessing as well. But friends online, go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit carry you through this week. Blessings. Thanks for being here.